This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله الذي نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبد الله ورسوله أرسله الله تعالى بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله وكفى بالله شهيدا فصلى الله عليه وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وإن شر الأمور محدثاتها وإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار قال الله عز وجل في كتابه الكريم بعد أن أقول أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ولتكن منكم أمة يدعون إلى الخير ويأمرون بالمعروف وينهون عن المنكر وأولئك هم المفلحون رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي اللهم ثبتنا عند الموت بلا إله إلا الله اللهم اجعلنا من الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر آمين يا رب العالمين. Today's khutbah is dedicated to a very fundamental concept in the Quran and in our religion. More commonly, people call it commanding the good and forbidding the evil. That's a very common way that this concept is described. What I want to do over the next series of khutbahs is to kind of help us gain a big picture view of this subject and how that applies to our lives and what Allah expects from us from this notion, this teaching that He's given us, that He's re-emphasized over and over again in different parts of the Quran. The first way that I think you can understand this easily, before even going to the ayat that literally say command the good and forbid the evil, which is actually what I recited from Ali Imran, is probably to take a look at Surah Al-Asr. And Surah Al-Asr is, children know it, you guys know it, it's a short surah of the Quran, one of the shortest, but Al-Asr, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. That surah, there's a few basic things that everybody should know about it. And the most basic thing you should know about it is the least, the Quran describes the least passing grade. Like kids can understand that easily, right? If you did some extra credit assignments, you can get a higher grade, yeah? If you did some more work at the office beyond your job requirement, maybe you can get a bonus. Maybe you can put in some overtime. But in any time you have been given a responsibility or I've been given a responsibility, there's a bare minimum, and if I don't meet the minimum requirements, then I failed. Yeah? So, to give you, by analogy, if somebody gave me a job and said, these are the three tasks you have to accomplish, and if you finish these three tasks and you have some extra time left over, then do these other three tasks. So, do A, B, C, that's your job. If you get extra time, do D, E, F, yeah? But what I do is I realize that A, B, C are kind of inconvenient for me, or I'm not enjoying them too much. But I really like D, E, F. They're actually a lot of fun for me, and I'm really good at them. So what I do all day is DEF. And at the end of the day, when my boss comes and says, or at the end of the week or the month, my boss comes and says, so how's the project going? I did a fantastic job. Look at the most perfect way I did DEF. And he says, that wasn't your primary job. Your primary job was A, B, and C, right? So that kind of an employee is bound to get fired because they're technically not doing their job. They can complain, I did so much. I did such a great job, but you didn't do what was asked of you. You took the secondary and made it the primary. And you took the primary and made it the secondary. You don't get to decide what's primary and what's secondary. That comes from your employer. The same way for a teacher. A teacher can say, this is the term project. If this is not complete, you're not going to pass the class. But here are the extra things you can do. These are the extra projects you can do to enhance your grade. And a student doesn't do their term project, does all the extra credit assignments, and expects to pass. They're not going to pass. They're just simply going to fail. Why am I bringing these examples to your attention? And by the way, it's not just in school or a job. It can also be in a relationship like parents and children, spouses, etc. There can be some things you do for your spouse that are extra, right? That are out of the goodness of your heart. But then there are other things that are absolutely fundamental. You have to do them. You have to fulfill those rights. And you ignore the fundamental rights and say, but look at the burger I bought for you. Or something. Right? So if you take the extra stuff and you make it like that's that's such a great job I did here, but you ignore the most fundamental basic parts, you're bound to fail in that relationship. This is the thought process that has to be in mind when we understand the overarching concept of Sutta Asa. And really, Sutta Asa, like I said, is the starting point to understand commanding good and forbidding evil. So let's go there first. Allah says time is running out. He swears by time that's running out. So it's a state of emergency, what asa. Then he says every single human being is in a state of loss. So every one of us is actually, the starting point is failure. Now, again, an analogy. Sometimes a teacher comes into class. I've had two kinds of professors in college. One professor comes into class and says, all of you are going to get an A. Every one of you, I've already written an A, but I've written it in pencil. It's up to you whether I erase it or replace it with something else. And if you want to get this A, here's all you have to do. So the starting point is not F, the starting point is A. Other professors come into class and say, by the way, most of you, if not all of you, are going to fail. And the only ones who won't fail is who do this, 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 and this. So the starting point for that professor is what? It's an F. And you've got to work your way to get out of the F. You understand? To get out of the failure. Surah Al-Asr describes the starting point for you and me, if we don't get our act together, is what? It's failure. Every human being is already drowning in loss. Every single one. He didn't make any exceptions. He didn't say disbelievers are in failure or bad people are in failure. He didn't make a distinction. He said, if you're a human being, the starting point for you is what? Loss. You're losing time, first of all. You're losing time and you need to get your act together. Now, there are four things you have to accomplish. All four. Because, like I said, ABC, let's make it ABC and D, because there's four items in Surah Al-Asr, right? إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. There's three ands in between. A, and B, and C, and D. You know what that means? If someone says, I'll just work on A, they failed. If they say, I worked on A and B, they still failed. If they say, I did A, B, and C pretty good, but I didn't get time for D, they still failed. You can't pick and choose. If Allah says the only people who don't lose, the only people who are not in loss, are those who accomplish الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ, he expected four things, then unless I meet all four requirements, I have what? Failed. Then I haven't met the requirement. You know, from a Christian perspective, they talk about salvation, right? And if you want to look at the Quran's description of salvation, well, what is salvation to y'all? Well, here it is. No human being shall have salvation because they're all going to be in loss unless they meet four requirements. They need to meet these four requirements. Now, what are these four requirements? You have to have faith. You have to fulfill the requirements of faith. That faith should lead you to do good deeds, and he will describe what those good deeds are. I don't get to describe, and I don't get to prioritize. But that should be good enough. You should just believe and do good deeds, and that should be good enough. But he says, but there are some kinds of good deeds that go overlooked. So I'm going to spell them out for you here. So the next two items are actually good deeds too. But they are the two good deeds that are so important that if they're not there, and they can easily be forgotten, that you're still going to be in loss and not even realize it. Right? So what does he do? He says, not just those who have faith, who believe, not just those who do good deeds, like praying, for example, or eating halal food, for example, or staying away from haram, for example. All of those are good deeds. Great. Now you're doing two things. Two out of how many? Four. Still failure, technically. But I'm doing good deeds, that's all there should be. Because other places in the Quran, Allah says, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتٌ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا. Those who believe and do good deeds, they'll have gardens. He doesn't say four requirements, he says how many? Two, all the time. So how come there's four all of a sudden? You promised me heaven in other places with just two requirements. And now you're telling me I'm a failure unless I meet four requirements. So there's a contradiction. Actually, there isn't a contradiction. What Allah is telling us is, those good deeds include C and D. But C and D are the most forgotten good deeds. And I want to make sure you don't fail and think you're doing some good deeds and you're ignoring these other good deeds, and as a result of that, you're failing. I wouldn't want you to be in that category. So he spelled it out for us in Surah Al-Asr. And what did he say? وَتَوَاصَلْ بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَلْ بِالصَّبْرِ. Now the word tawasal is a verb. means they counsel. They counsel. They give advice. Okay? I won't get into the etymology or long discussions. In the khutbah context, we can keep it short. They give advice. They give counsel. They say kind words to encourage. So these are all, they translate it as they enjoin each other or they counsel each other. Okay? Anyhow, he could have said that word once. He could have said they counsel each other to the truth and they counsel each other to patience. But the word counsel didn't have to be repeated. You could have said they counsel each other to truth and patience. You could say the counsel once, like you could say, I ate a burger and I ate french fries. But you don't have to say eight twice. You can just say, I ate a burger and french fries. You don't have to repeat the eight. But here he's saying, and those who've counseled each other to the truth, and those who've counseled each other to patience. Now, why would he do that? Why would you repeat the verb? Why? Because those two things don't necessarily come together. They have to be looked at as separate. You have to understand them separately. To put it in very, very basic terms, because the purpose of khutbah is not to give you a tafsir of Surah Al-Asr. I've done a lot of lectures on Surah Al-Asr and podcasts and things like that. Here I want you to understand, going back to the concept that I hope to, you know, elaborate for all of us, and that is commanding good and forbidding evil. So I'll give you a basic example. It's late at night, before the COVID-19 days, you're going home from work, right? And it's like, you know, 8 or 9 p.m. You're going down the street, and a bunch of kids teenage boys are playing baseball in the middle of the street, right? And they're hitting the ball really hard, and it's hitting cars, and alarms are going off, and some windows getting smashed, and they're playing. And you're walking by, and maybe I should say something. Guys, you shouldn't be doing that. But what thought crosses your mind if you did tell them that they shouldn't be doing that? The thought that crosses their mind is, right now they're playing baseball with a ball. If I open my mouth, they might play baseball with my head. I don't know what they're going to do. There's a lot of them and there's just one of me. There's a fear in speaking out for the truth, because you can't just say that and get away with it. When you speak the truth, it offends someone. Whenever you counsel somebody to the truth, there's a pretty high likelihood they can turn around and say, "What'd you say? Excuse me? Who are you to tell me?" So, and if you could say it, and by the way, Allah didn't say they slap each other with the truth. They counsel, which means they find respectful, gentle, kind, appropriate words, the appropriate time to say something and say it in the most proper way. And then what they say is actually based on proper understanding. We'll get to all of that. But even if you do everything right, the problem is truth is offensive. It just is. Nobody wants to hear that they did something wrong. Nobody wants to hear advice because we feel like we're in a position to give advice as human beings. But when it comes to taking advice, it kind of gets like, yeah, really? And it's extreme. Its most extreme form is when prophets give advice, right? Prophets' advice cannot be argued with. Like if your wife gave you advice, you're like, what about you? The husband gave you advice? Yeah, thanks for the advice, but what about you? Well, when a prophet gave you advice, you can't say, oh, yeah, thanks, but what about you? You can't turn it around, can you? You can't. And it's really annoying that you have to listen to everything a prophet is saying, and you can't question anything, and you can't even say, oh yeah, well look at yourself, because if you look at him, he's the best example of it anyway. So this was a big problem for people to accept the prophet. And the Quran describes, أَبَشَرٌ يَهْدُونَنَا, a person is going to guide us? And they couldn't find any other problem with him. So they said, مَنِ هَذَا رَسُولُ يَأْكُلُ طَعَامُ وَيَمْشِي فِي الْأَسْوَاقِ. This is a prophet, he eats food. He's walking around in the markets like we are. He's just human. Now they couldn't find a flaw, so him being human became a flaw. But the point, the underlying psychology behind that is important. Human beings don't like being corrected. Human beings sometimes don't like hearing the truth. And by the way, the only reason you would have to counsel somebody to the truth, or the only reason somebody would have to counsel me to the truth, is because I'm doing something that's untrue. I'm doing something wrong. Or I'm thinking something wrong. Or I'm saying something wrong. Or maybe I've become neglectful of something good I should be doing. So I was in need of it, that's why I needed to hear it. And Allah says in the surah that if you see something wrong and you don't find a way to point it out to the other, but it's not just they counsel to the truth. Tawasal, tafa'ul actually means each other. Amazing word. Not only do they give advice, but as they are giving advice, they are equally prepared to what? Take advice. but also means they're not just there to tell you what you have done wrong, they're actually eager to hear what they can do better. And they find, and the one who's being corrected thinks of it as a favor being done to them that they are being corrected. Each of them actually think that this person, now in the world that we live in today, being corrected is offensive. Being corrected is, oh yeah? Oh, you want to correct me? Let me show you how that works. And in fact, part of us even says, now that you've corrected me, it's your turn. It's like a tennis match. Nobody's actually acknowledging that you've done me a favor by correcting me. But thank you for pointing something out that I didn't address, that I didn't see that I'm doing wrong. A person, for example, can be negligent. A person, for example, can look dismissive. A person, for example, can say something that comes across as offensive. They didn't think it was offensive at all. But they said it, and they didn't think it was offensive at all. And somebody points it out to them, and they should be able to realize it. Yeah, you're right. That the way I said that, you were. But the first impulse is what? To defend and say, no, that's not what I said at all. That's not what I mean at all. And I don't want to see how it could be taken that way. I don't want to see that. I don't want to be corrected. Oh, and you are so hurt by that? What about what you did on Thursday of 1983, January 4th, etc. It's like you've got the list of, you know, violations ready to go. And you can bring those up anytime you're corrected. You've got a list of things, arsenal you've got against each person. And every time they try to correct you with something, oh, I got your file right here. And then pull out the file and list their violations. So deflect from yourself. And that's the opposite of what Allah is saying here. What Allah saw with haq. They counsel each other. They're giving, you know, as if they're giving parting advice. You know, tawasi comes from wasiya. And wasiya means someone who's dying, they leave a will. Yeah? And when they're dying, and so a mother is dying, and she says to her daughters, take care of each other. And the last words they heard. The mother's got this notion that maybe I'll never get a chance to say something to them again. The children will have imprinted on their minds that these are the last words our mother ever told us. Are they of some significant value? Yes, they are. And tawasi means, it's as if you're talking to somebody, and you don't know if you'll ever get a chance to hear their voice again. Or they'll get to hear yours again. There's a certain softness in the heart that comes from tawasi. Allah says people are in a state of loss, and they can't hold on to their faith, and they can't hold on to good deeds, until they learn to give each other good, sincere advice based on the truth bil haqq. Bil haqq, and many sahaba said, al haqq here actually means the Quran. They counsel each other to Allah's words. You know? And the point being, if somebody tells you, hey, by the way, Allah says this. Oh yeah? Who are you to tell me Allah says that? You don't think I know that already? Why do you think the Sahaba are reminding each other of the Quran all the time? Like they recited Surah Al-Asr to each other all the time. No, not one of them said, hey, I know Surah Al-Asr. I already know that. Thank you. Thank you though for assuming that I don't know that. Nobody said that. Because they understood that human beings are in need of what? Reminder. Reminder as if it's never been heard before. This is why. When Allah told Rasulullah ﷺ the story of Musa over and over and over again, more than any other story. And then when the Prophet ﷺ was depressed one time, he told him, وَهَلَتَكَ حَدِيثُ مُوسَىٰ. Did the news of Musa come to you? Did the new story of Musa come to you? It's not new. I've heard it a bajillion times. I've heard it so many times. And yet Allah said, Allah gives the Prophet ﷺ an attitude. When you hear the word of Allah, the attitude you and I should have is like we're hearing it for the first time. That's what he expects. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help. And then comes, well, even if you do such counsel, sometimes if I give you advice, or you gave me advice, you don't see the change right away. Yeah? Now let's compare for a moment. Our Rabb, our Master Allah, made it very clear that we have to pray. He made it very clear that we have to dress a certain way, or we have to, you know, eat certain things, or we have to behave certain way. He made it very clear. Do we sometimes miss prayers? Do we? Does he have a right to say, I clearly told you what I want and what I don't want. And here you are sleeping through prayers. You know what? I'm done with you. Is that Allah Azza wa Jalla towards us? Because if he was, humanity wouldn't exist anymore, would it? But what are we to each other? I told you once, and that should have been enough. And now that I see that you forgot, or you neglected my commandment to you, oh, I'm sorry, my advice to you, now you are finished. I can't believe that you neglected what I said. We so easily forget. I easily forget. How much do I neglect what Allah said? And Allah is not upset with me. And yet I feel like I'm in the position that when I told someone to do something, and I didn't see the change right away. I didn't see the transformation that I was expecting. That I said, I specifically told you what I want. I let you know that that's not going to fly. And here we are again. Does that sound like tawassul bil haqq? Does that sound like counseling to the truth? No, because, you know, the reason I wanted to, you know, really explain this concept, take my time explaining this concept to you through a series of khutbahs, is because we use beautiful words sometimes. Like, beautiful words are commanding the good and forbidding the evil. Those are beautiful words. But we use them for some very ugly behaviors. We misuse them, and we mask the ugly behavior thinking that we're doing something good. The responsibility to give counsel doesn't go away. And once you give counsel, you have to be patient. وَتَوَصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. We have to be patient with each other. Even Musa alayhi salam has to tell his teacher, Surah Al-Kahf, could you be patient with me? You know? And the teacher has to tell him, you're not going to be patient with me. لَن تَسْتَطِيعَ مَعِيَ صَبْرًا. What does that mean? Human beings are not perfect. And even if you give someone advice, if one kid came to me and said, and I told him, hey, listen, the masjid has certain manners. When you come in here, I don't want you, you know, talking about video games or other things. Once you come into the masjid, you should only be talking about the, you know, remembering Allah and praying. And I gave them this advice twice, three times, four times. But then they come in and they're doing the same thing again. Should I get upset? No. You know what I should remember? Human beings need reminder. That's what I should remember. Human beings need reminder. We forget easily. And who are they to, instead of who are they to forget but I, the one from YouTube, gave them advice. What? What? Then this act of worship, this is supposed to be, this iman is worship, good deeds are worship, counseling to the truth is also what? Worship. Every act of worship, this is the last thing I'll tell you for this khutbah, every act of worship is to be done with humility to Allah, yes or no? Every act of worship. Is it possible to do an act of worship for Allah with an arrogant attitude? It's impossible. And the one you are dealing with, whether it's your son, whether it's your husband, whether it's your wife, whether it's your father, whether it's your mother, whether it's your cousin, brother, sister, co-worker, friend, best enemy, whatever, whoever you're dealing with, are they not slaves of Allah? Are they not the property of Allah? And when something is the property, like if you handled something that was the property of someone very important, you know they say handle with care? Right? You're not just dealing with a person. You're dealing with someone who belongs to Allah. Isn't that what we remind ourselves of when a person leaves this world? That we all belong to Allah? That to Him alone we will be returned? This is why the way in which we speak to each other, the way in which we give counsel to each other, the way in which we speak the truth to each other, needs to reflect that understanding. So when we get to the ayat about commanding the good and forbidding the evil, and what that really implies, what does it mean? What does the word good in the ayat actually mean? What does commanding actually mean? What is evil actually? What's the word for evil Allah used? What does it mean to forbid it? And what does it mean for an individual? What does it mean for a family? What does it mean for the ummah? There are levels of it. There are layers of it. When we understand that, at every single level, we have to come back to one fundamental thing. All of these are acts of worship, which means we are not more conscious of Allah than we are of the creatures in front of us. That's what has to happen first. May Allah Azza wa Jalla make us of those who can truly exhibit their iman and good deeds, even when they do counsel to the truth and counsel to patience. May Allah Azza wa Jalla make us of those who are in fact people of commanding the good and forbidding the evil in the way that He would expect us to be. Barakallahu li wa lakum fil Qur'an al-Hakim wa nafa'ani wa iyyakum bil ayati wa dhikri al-Hakim. Alhamdulillahi wa kafa, wa salatu wa salamu ala ibadihi alladhina istafa, khususan ala afdalihi al-mukhatib al-nabiyyin
محمد الأمين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. قال الله عز وجل في كتابه الكريم: بعد أن أقول أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. عباد الله رحمكم الله، اتقوا الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر وذكر الله أكبر. الله يعلم ما تصنعون. أقم الصلاة إن الصلاة كانت على المؤمنين كتابا موقوتا.
الله أكبر الله أكبر، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح، إقامة الصلاة إقامة الصلاة. الله أكبر الله أكبر، لا إله إلا الله.
الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. واعتصموا بحبل الله جميعا ولا تفرقوا، واذكروا نعمة الله عليكم إذ كنتم أعداء فألف بين قلوبكم فأصبحتم بنعمته إخوانا وكنتم على شفا حفرة من النار فأنقذكم منها، كذلك يبين الله لكم آياته لعلكم تهتدون. ولتكن منكم أمة يدعون إلى الخير ويأمرون بالمعروف وينهون عن المنكر، وأولئك هم المفلحون. الله. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر، إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
سبحان الله.